Hello everyone, I want to thank you today for tuning in again to the Living Letter Ministries radio broadcast. Like always, God is good and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. God loves us and His love is vast, it's great towards mankind. The Lord has a great grand master plan. Be included in the plan of God. Don't be excluded. People exclude themselves. They don't know Him. And because people don't know Him, they reject Him. The enemy is trying to hide the fact that God loves man. And everything, all the good and wonderful things that the Lord have done, the enemy tries to find a way to disconnect man from it. But we all know people that have been blessed by the Lord. Many times it may be our parents, a grandmother, a neighbor, somebody that's just outstanding, and what they have in common is the love of God. The Lord is revealing things to His people. And the mainstream world is virtually missing out on it. And the only reason I say virtually is because there are people who pray for people. And the Lord hears their prayer and puts a plan in motion to rescue and save people who are being prayed for. The enemy can't hide everything. Some people are going to rise above. No matter what happens, some people will rise above. But some people are satisfied with the status quo and they're not trying to learn anything else. Long as their lives are about like they want it, they're not looking for God. The first thing Adam did when he sinned was run from God. And the more people get involved with sin, the more they run from God. So all the preachers have to be like fishermen. They have to catch folks. We pray for people. We show people the love of God that they may live. Because when you believe on Jesus, you have a brand new heart and you have the peace of God and the Holy Spirit to guide you in this life and take you aside and show you things. I talked about it before on the radio. In 1986, the Lord let me see hell. I was there. I went to sleep one night, and He took me to hell. And I can still see that dream because it was real. The people that I saw had literally died that moment. Now, hell is real. To people who love this world, it's a fairy tale. So is God. But God is real. The spiritual world is more real than the natural world, because the spiritual world that you see came from the natural. I mean, the natural world you see came from the spiritual world that you cannot see. And the Lord is the one who made it. He made everything. He loves us. And He has a plan for you. We don't need to miss out on the wonderful plans of God. And the way we be included is first believe on Jesus Christ. Second, study His word. And give the Holy Spirit something to teach you with. And then the Spirit of God will guide you into all truth. And because He loves us. The Lord was not ashamed to become a man and be with us. Do miracles amongst us and fulfill the words of the prophets, the true and living prophets, not the make-believe prophets, not the lying prophets, but the true and living prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Hosea, and many others, Zedekiah. All these prophets prophesied something about Christ. Joel prophesied about the infilling, about us being filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it all happened just like clockwork. At the time it was supposed to happen, it came to pass. It wasn't always a faraway mystery. It all came to pass. Daniel prophesied the rise and fall of every nation. And when you read the book of Daniel And you see how everything went down and how things built up to the way it is. You know it's God's handiwork. He prophesied about Alexander the Great. He prophesied about the way his kingdom would be divided among his four generals. His son didn't reign in his stead, but his four generals did. It all happened. None of it went to waste. And people ignore these facts. But God is still the same. And he's still dealing with people who listen. You have to be teachable. At this point in the game, you got to be teachable. People who don't want to learn, they're excluding themselves. And the enemy is steadily tricking them. It's like the carrot before the donkey. He's just stringing them along. And they'll never get what they're after. And then he'll go and accuse them before God. Look at this. I got them going in circles and they don't even know it. They don't love you enough to get out of the circles I got them going in. That's how the enemy do things. Then he'll come and tell you your life ain't going right because God don't care about you. He tell everybody lies. And then you got the wicked. People that know better. There are people who know what is right. Because they tasted and they saw that the Lord was good, and then they rejected him. They saw Jesus. It's just like the people who saw Jesus do miracles, and then they wanted to kill him. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. If you read a little further on in John, they wanted to kill Jesus because he raised Lazarus from the dead. And then they wanted to kill Lazarus because people were turning to God again. And these were their religious leaders. Now, we're going to shift gears. We're still dealing with end times. This chapter of end times, I've been on this for a year, end times. But this chapter, God wants me to deal with the parable of the tares and the wheat. Now, last week we read this parable, and I'll read the interpretation again, because when Jesus broke it down to his people, he was letting them know what he's going to do, because Jesus is the one who's got to judge this problem, and he's righteous in doing so, and he's got to do it. He doesn't have a choice. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. Children of the wicked one. Children of Satan. They do just like Satan. They are no different. Verse 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. Verse 40. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be at the in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 43. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. He sent the multitude away. They asked the question, what is the parable of the tares of the field? And this is the interpretation of it. Now, because I've been saying this, the Lord put it on my heart that he's the one that will do the surgery. It's a waste of time to try to figure out who the tares are. Go about your normal routine. Do what you got to do. Live with your eyes open. Sin is already judged. It's already judged. If people are sinning, they are judged. If you point out the fact that they're sinning, you're not judging them because they're already judged. If a man will live in sin, he's half dead. If he die, he go on to hell. He's already judged. As a minister, we're trying to help people understand so that they can know that there is a true way out of this problem. Sin does more than just, the enemy tempts man with sin to get them off track. But sin does some things to you. If you play with it, it hardens your heart. It always does. It makes you want to hide from God and disconnect yourself. Not only from God, but people who represent Him. It makes you want to change the channel when the move of God is happening. When somebody gets healed, you don't want to hear about it. When the Lord moves in people's lives, you don't really want to know about it if you're in sin and if you like it. Now, then sin also captures you. First, it seems exciting. And then you start running from God and trying to, and you justify. Then it gets boring. And it didn't make your life any better than where it was before. The promise is not there. There's no life in it. And you can't satisfy lust. If you get in that rut, you can't satisfy, and you end up broke and brokenhearted. And if it's greed, Solomon said in Ecclesiastes that a man that loves silver can't be satisfied with silver. In other words, you wonder why people who make all this money, they lavish themselves and they can't be satisfied. They spend more than they make trying to lavish themselves. How many basketball players, football players, they get the $6 million bonus, signing bonus, and then they buy a $30 million house that nobody can afford to buy. And if they hurt themselves and can't play anymore, now the bank's going to get it and sell it off their name. And if they don't find a buyer, they're going to end up broke because they overspent. Because the problem was not solved. If a man gets a job making a little more than he did, he finds a way to spend all of that money and more. And if something happens to that job, now he's got a big old debt problem. When people win the lottery, you think you won a lottery, all right? Most, unless you're trained to handle money, and unless you know to not put your affections on things, you can't have enough. And you win all that money and you blow it. Because the flesh can't be satisfied like that. But when you have the peace of God and He trains you how to deal with finances, and He trains you in His love, you don't need props like money and lust to carry you along. You're content on the inside. You have the peace of God on the inside. And your eyes are in your head. And you're able to make wise judgments. You're able to walk circumspectly. You can see things for what they are. And not the theatricals of Satan. He makes things look better that are not. But in Christ, we've been made whole. We don't need the props. And yet you can prosper greater because you've been given victory in Him. But He will do the surgery. He will deal with the tears. Tears will be tears. They always were and they always will be. Let Him do the surgery. If a person is a tear, you didn't make them to tear. They will leave the wisdom of God for a lie. It's not your fault. They will divorce you. Eventually, they will get frustrated and they will leave your life if you love God. Because sin always runs from the Lord. It's not your fault. Pastors, if some of your congregation leave because you're preaching the word of God correctly, right in a rightly divided way, you're moving with the Holy Spirit and people leave you, it's not your fault. Because the tares are going to be, they're going to be collected in bundles to be burned. They will leave your life. It's not your fault. And don't try to keep them. If they walk out with their eyes open, they know what's true and they know what's right and they leave anyway, that's because they don't like God and his ways and his love. They are wicked. And they will do what the wicked do. He will do the surgery. Now, the times it's time for the Lord to start dealing with these problems. We don't make people become, they do that on their own. And the ones that the Lord will judge first are the ones that are among the wheat. The tares that were sown among the wheat are the ones they're in the way of what God is doing. And the Lord gave, it's just like in Revelation, he gave Jezebel a space of time to repent. And she didn't. Or, you know, it didn't say whether she did or didn't, but if she didn't repent, judgment was going to follow. It's the same thing. And now is the time the Lord is going to have to deal with tares, but he will do the surgery. He will divide what's not his from what is his. And the Holy Spirit will guide you in what you should do as this process happens. It's not the most popular subject, but it's true, and I got to minister it because that's what God put on my heart. I don't know what to do of myself, but I know what the Lord told me, and I obey him. Now, in I just start at the beginning. Now, there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas, Simon, and Simon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia. And from this they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius of Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. This is a wicked man trying to keep a man from believing on Jesus so that he'll go to hell and Satan will laugh at him. Verse 9, then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, "O full of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, which would thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season." And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy went Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. A wicked man tried to stand in the way of another man getting saved. This is what tares do. They grew up among the wheat. They know the language of the wheat. They know how to speak like Christians, preach like Christians. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, many will come to me saying, Lord, Lord. See, all these scriptures, we've always had them. But in these days, the Lord has to do his surgery. Matthew 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. See, casting out devils, preaching, teaching, even miracles are not qualifiers to whether you're in the Lord or not. They are not. What qualifies you to be in the Lord is the blood of Jesus and you believe in it. That's it. What qualifies you to be healed is his broken body and you believe in it. What qualifies you to enter heaven is the blood of Jesus and you believing that he died in your place and nothing else. The works are because the works are good if you believe on the blood of Jesus Christ and obey the Lord. But Jesus said, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? But they also taught lies. They also got in sin and wouldn't repent. They also hardened their heart against God. They also acted just like Diotrephes in 2 John. They also acted like Elymas. Same people. Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And this is the standards of God don't change, and people who try to change the standards of God's word, they will always fail. And because of their wickedness, they will be judged. Don't be a tare. Do the will of God. Don't change the doctrine of the word of God. Don't bend the scriptures. Don't try to find loopholes. Because people who try to find a lying loophole, the enemy's going to help them. And it's going to harden their heart. And they're going to believe it and preach it as truth and draw a crowd, because in the back of many people's mind, they want an easy way out. They still want to sin. People get saved, and if they don't see, there were two trees. You got to go back to Genesis. You got to go back to what was happening in the first place. God put two trees in the garden. You got to select one. You got to reject one. The sins of this world, leave it alone. It's not for you. A child of God has no business eating hog slop All sin is hog slop. Leave it alone. Don't try to figure out a way to ease into that and still do it and still go to heaven, because it's not going to work. And people are so confused now. Anything goes. Anything goes. If you want to do it, it goes. People will follow you. They will be glad. But the Lord, he didn't change. He will bind the tares in bundles to be burned, just like a farmer. And his people are going to do the will of God. And the harvest will be reaped. And the enemy send the tares out to halt everything, to make it look like it don't mean nothing to follow God. So that the children, they won't have anything to look to, and they'll believe a lie. There are so many precious children that have not been properly taught the word of God because their parents won't teach them, and now their grandparents won't teach them. Some children have never been to church, not even on the holidays. And then you got false religions popping up all over the world. And the enemy gave them, he fed them a lie. And the world is unstable. A war could break out any day now. It's not God's fault, and God's not in that. And when the war happens, and when everything go break, and when it come to a head like it will, it's not God's fault. People trusted a liar instead of the one that told the truth in the first place. I told my nephew years ago, I said, it don't mean nothing for Satan to start a worldwide religion to destroy people. I said, in the flood of Noah's day, only 8 people survived it out of 6 billion people. Well, where you get 6 billion from? Well, do the math. Do the math. Go back and look at Genesis. You got the lineage of Cain, and then you got the lineage of Seth, and nobody died for about 1,000 years. The average person was living almost 1,000 years. And I don't know when women stopped bearing children, but Adam had so many children. He probably it probably would have took the handiwork of God for him to remember and name them all. And they had children. It was about 1,500 years before the flood came, and nobody's dying, and people having children every year. So you do the math. Find somebody that can do the math and see what they say. I say it was about 6 billion people, and only 8 people survived. Because that's what happens when darkness takes over. All right, we're out of time, but the Lord is not. Remember, you can hear these broadcasts on newlivingletters.com. Till next time, remember, I love you, God loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.